Okay.
Here at the Edinburgh Fringe, just before it all kicks off with David Calvito. David, I've heard that superheroes, when they decide they've done enough superheroing, become taxi drivers. Do actors become directors?
Well, I've been directing for a while, yeah. More so in the last few years. But
is it nice not to be here, you know, acting every bloody day?
You know, I was just thinking about that before I came over. I thought, wow, I'm so calm. So it's making me realize that I have to remember that for my actors. They're not as calm as I am because it's harder to be on stage than it is to be in the audience watching someone.
What's the decision process? I mean, I guess opportunity just sometimes presents itself, but I'm going to direct for a while.
For me, it wasn't a decision to say, oh, I'm going to direct for a while and not act. Often it's because you're not getting any acting work, so you say, well, you know, maybe I'll try to make the best of this. For me, I've been living in New York for the last year and a half after being in London for 4 years, and it was a little slow for me there, so I shouldn't be saying this. The offers are coming in like hotcakes.
Communications director for Trump?
Yeah, I think he's due for the next one, isn't he? Yeah.
Emotionally, that opportunity presented itself. Are you up here now going, oh, I'm really glad
that I'm here?
And directing,
I really am glad. I was thinking, when you're putting it all together and you start doing all that work in January, you think, oh, this long road, I forget how much work it is to produce, because I'm producing it as well, the producing work, you know.
I'll just throw that in, won't you?
Yeah, I'll just throw that in, too. So, and then it's here, and you say to yourself, how could I have ever doubted for a second that this wasn't the best idea to start this process in January? Yeah.
Now, what words describe David Calvito, the director?
I throw too much at my actors without acknowledging the fact that it's a change. All an actor wants you to say is, I'm going to ask you to do something. Thanks for trying that other thing. It wasn't right, and my suggestion wasn't right, and so this is going to be a new thing. I just say, do this, and all they want is an acknowledgement that it's a change, but I'm too gruff to take the time, but now I'm going to.
And in the early days of that script then, are you kind of making it up and improvising it and playing with the script, or have you got a pretty clear vision and then the actors just do what they're told?
For this play, particularly for this style, Brian Parks is a very particular style of theater, and so it's a little of both. You've got to decide some stuff, so I was trying to walk that wire between deciding stuff ahead of time and allowing a sense of play and coming up with different ideas and trying different things.
And this is called Enterprise, so tell us a bit about Enterprise.
Enterprise is about four businessmen four corporate types, company men, who are, it all takes place in one day, and their company's fortunes suddenly plummet during the morning of that day, and they take it upon themselves to try to save the company with their own ingenuity and enterprise.
And there was a big smile on your face at the end of that sentence, and you licked your lips. I want to know why.
Well, it's just a lot of fun. It's absurdist comedy. If you know Brian Parks' other work, Imperial Fizz, American Absurdum, Goner, those shows have been at the festival before, and so it's wild. You know, it's absurd. You know, one of the things they try is an animal sacrifice. See how that might save the company. If that gives you one example of how it bounces around in a lot of different areas, and sometimes it's absurd, and sometimes it's absolutely natural, or in absurd circumstances, which, of course, all comedy is usually that, you know, being, as the playwright likes to say, I don't believe there should be any smiling in comedy. because that means the characters are taking it seriously, which is makes it more funny. So it is very funny, and that's why I was smiling.
Also, given what we read and see about what's going on in the political world, the business world, you know, and the collapse of large corporations within minutes, is the smile also that this is absurdist in that it's where absurdity is the best way to nail the real?
That's a really good way to put it, yeah. It's not specifically topical about what's going on in the world in terms of, you know, you're not going to recognize a story you've heard about corporate malfeasance or anything like that, a particular story, I mean, but it does comment on just this is the only way to look at this sort of this crazy corporate culture we live in. Yeah.
And in terms of you bringing this to the stage, I guess I'm speaking metaphorically here, but is the director and the writer sitting at the same table, or is the writer way over there by the time you're in the director's room?
The writer is way over there, sitting on the floor. Actually, Brian prefers the floor. And so, but then I walk over to him and ask him specific things. But yeah, it is separate, although I'm very open to working more directly with a playwright. But this playwright wants to keep his distance. But then we talk, you know, just personally later.
But if he disappeared completely off the scene, do you think the play would have played out differently?
Completely? Like not even private conversations later? Yes. I'm glad he was there to keep me on track on a couple of things. And he only attended fewer than 50% of the rehearsal hours. So it was a good working relationship.
Some terrific directors that I've seen their work at the Fringe are not and have never been actors. Where does David Calvito, you know, serve as a resource for the director, David Calvito? Calvito, the performer, as a resource for the directing?
Well, in terms of what I cited earlier about not explaining, not sort of going through the niceties of this is a change, for example, I wonder if I were in their shoes, would I need me to be more less gruff and in terms of this style, this play? I've done Brian Park's work for 20 years now, so I know the style very well. So in terms of directing this play, it's a good match. Because some people, if you haven't done Parks before, you might take the absurdity too literally as absurdity and play it as absurd, which, as I was saying earlier, you don't want to play absurdity. You just let the situation do the work. So in terms of my being a director and... I think I'm good at scene work, and I think seeing the big picture. But again, I think I have to work on my communication skills.
But also, shows like The Event, I mean, some of the reviewers have said that there isn't a moment wasted in it. And obviously, almost there's nuance and there's direction and intention in every gesture, every word. But other plays, you let them play out a bit.
That's right. Yeah, again, in this kind of work, it seems like the director may be micromanaging and not giving the actors enough freedom, but it's sort of, there's no air in these plays, you know, every moment you can't even look away, practically you can't even look away and let the audience know you're thinking about something. That's taking too much time.
And when plays tour, some directors walk away. At the Fringe, I've noticed some directors also walk away. And they might see it in the first few days, and then they're off. Others are sitting in there the whole month. What are you going to be doing?
I will not be sitting in there the whole month. Because they'll probably throw me out. But no, that's not the reason. Because, I'll go in the first five or six or seven and... hopefully say less and less and less every time. I will say less and less to the actors every time. And no, I'm going to be elsewhere. I'm going to be at other shows and the bar and stuff.
Yeah. And in terms of it being a fringe festival, you know, I was talking to someone before who's got an 11:30 slot of a show that when it tours normally will be at 7:30 in the evening. And, you know, is going to perform in a converted lecture theatre, maybe with noise bleed. The deck of cards you've been dealt here for this show, is it favourable? Are you going to have to adapt things to it being this noisy fringe?
Well, I am in a lecture hall, but it's not a noisy one.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in a 160 seat theater. We're at George Square Studios 2. And so the only thing I had to adapt was that the stage doesn't have any wing space. So some stuff that would have been done off stage, like gathering props. Actually, we've solved it very well, and now we've solved it, and now the actors don't have to leave the stage, which I found is the best thing for the play, and to keep it moving. Mm. So we found ways to keep the actors on stage, even if they're not in that particular scene.
Final question. It's a real tough one, but I'm asking more and more people this fringe, which is the fringe here is unique in that the audience range is huge. It's everywhere from children up to 99-year-olds and so on. In terms of anybody you might identify wouldn't normally come and see absurdist comedy about the Enterprise, what would be your invitation to those people to come and see it?
The ones who don't usually see an absurdist comedy, so not our usual audience, what would I say to them? Well, I would say if you like laughing, and we all do, and you can accept the ride that you're going to be on, because it is a ride. You know, you really, you just sort of have to let it go, and it's okay if you don't hear everything, because it is fast. Although we hear most things. I mean, you may not hear because you're laughing. You may miss the next gag, but only because you're laughing too much. I know that sounds like corny, and that sounds like P.T. Barnum. What's it called? Shucksterism? But it's not. Really, that's the thing. So, in terms of people who wouldn't see absurdist comedy, I think that comedy, I would say this, comedy's comedy. And if the word absurdist scares you, don't think in terms of you don't know what's happening. It's not that kind of absurd. You know exactly what's happening. It's not like what situation are they in? I don't understand these jokes. No, you'll get them, and it's not over your head kind of elitist absurdist. If the word absurdist scares you in that way, no, it's very down to earth. We have poop jokes, but we also have Brian's jokes go the range from poop jokes, which everybody loves, I believe. And very sophisticated jokes. So he's got the range. Everything happens in the space of an hour. Yeah.
David Calvito, the director of Absurdist Comedy Theatre with Poop Jokes. Thank you very much.